Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. Robert Williams says he can make a big leap. Can he really? How bad does Aaron Nesmith have to be to not make the rotation? And I draft a fantasy team. It's all coming up on this Wednesday, Locked On Celtics, Millie's. Let's go. Back with the vengeance at all the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. I'm John Corrales, I'm your host, here for you Monday through Friday. So if you're a new listener, that's the deal. A Monday through Friday podcast all about the Boston Celtics, the relevant stuff. You're even going to hear from people when they say relevant things. Like today, you're going to hear from Brad Stevens on Robert Williams. An interesting comment about Robert Williams, his ability to make a leap. And that's in segment one. Segment two, Brad Stevens on Aaron Nesmith, an interesting answer about him in the rotation. And I wonder, how bad does he have to be to not actually be part of the rotation? And then the Locked On Podcast Network got together for a fantasy draft. I took part. I got Jason Tatum. I got Jaylen Brown. I'm going to go through and run my team down for you. You let me know how I did. So let's start with Robert Williams. He was on the Zoom calls, our regular Zoom calls on the beat, and Rob was excited. Rob sat down. He's smiling, laughing. I actually, in that moment, I was like, oh, man, I kind of miss being around Robert Williams. That dude is just fun. He's just fun. Not just fun because he's flying through the air and dunking and everything. He's just a legit dude. Like, what you see is legitimately what you get with Robert Williams. It's really fun. And to see him sit down, immediately I was like, it was one of the things that made me miss being around the team on a regular basis during these COVID times. So we were talking about his opportunity and his, you know, because Tristan Thompson is out, Robert Williams is getting some significant run in these practices. It's only been the first week of practice, so everybody's like all upbeat and it's, you know, an important time to get everybody's spirits up and everybody gets together. And Robert Williams has had, by all accounts, a pretty good camp so far. He's vocal when we asked Aaron Nesmith, because Robert Williams said, hey, you know, I'm communicating more, which is a thing that he needed to do, by the way. He said, I'm communicating more. I'm guiding the rookies. I'm keyed in on what my teammates need, where they need to be, what all of that stuff. He was saying all the right things. And we asked Aaron Nesmith, and Nesmith kind of confirmed it. Said, you know, I'm out there flying off of screens, and he's back there vocal, kind of guiding me. So that is very encouraging to hear that Robert Williams is doing some of these fundamental things. What's the one thing I've been saying about Robert Williams all this time? It's fundamentals over and over and over again. And if he's doing a very simple fundamental thing like talking the way a back line anchor of a defense is supposed to, then great. He has an opportunity to make a difference on this team. Brad Stevens was asked about Robert Williams, had some good things to say, but stick with this soundbite until the end so you can hear the part that I'm going to react to.
Well, he's always improved whether he's playing or not. That's one of the things that I think has given him a chance to continue to make great strides here. But hey, we've had, you know, good players there. You know, Tice had a good year. Canner was a really good player. And, you know, against certain matchups and certain teams, we really leaned on him more than others. And so, and then, you know, there were plenty of times where we played Grant. So at the five. You know, there's just it's a little bit like when I talk about point guards, when you're playing that one position, you know, there's a little bit less time to go around often. And I think that ultimately, you know, it's a credit to him that he's improved regardless of circumstance. And I think he'll build off of that this year. But we've got good players there again. You know, we'll see how that all shakes itself out.
But we have good players there again. We'll see how that all shakes itself out. He had to throw that little bit in there. He had, and there was another soundbite before that. I didn't play the whole Brad Stevens availability, but he has all of this talk about Robert Williams improving. He had a lot of nice things to say. And then he throws in these last two bits. It's like when I talk about point guards, when you're playing that one position, there's a little bit less time to go around. And then at the end, we have good players again. We'll see how that all shakes itself out. I wonder, like I wondered the other day, where Robert Williams' minutes are going to come from. Because Daniel Theis deserves to play like 24 minutes. If you're looking to win games now, Daniel Theis deserves to play like 24 minutes. And Tristan Thompson, when he's ready to go, certainly deserves to play 24 minutes. Those are your 48 minutes at center. And the thing about Daniel Theis and Tristan Thompson is that they can switch and they can go out there and they can guard on the perimeter. Maybe not for long stretches, but long enough. All you got to do it is for long enough. Robert Williams hasn't even been able to grasp the fundamentals of a simple drop coverage. I say simple, like I can go out there and do it. But for him, it's supposed to be simple. Stay down, get low, wide, talk. Now, maybe he's doing more of that, and that's going to be great. However, he hasn't shown the ability to grasp that on a consistent basis. Now, of course, that comes with a huge dose of perspective. His rookie year, he was behind Aaron Baines, Al Horford. I've made this case before. Those guys were hurt. Robert Williams was supposed to be in the G League all year. Those guys were hurt. And he had to stay on the bench as like an emergency option. Then last season, he gets hurt. A hip edema. A weird injury. That costs him half the season. So developmentally, he's behind. Fine. Now, some of that stuff, again, fundamentals, but that has to do with reps. He's a low draft pick. He's a low first round draft pick, but he's got enough talent there where it's tantalizing. Tantalizing is the key word here with Robert Williams. He's so tantalizing, but where's the payoff? There's been some payoff. Against Toronto, there was payoff in the playoffs. Payoff in the playoffs. But where is it consistently? Where do the Celtics have this opportunity? When can they play him? Maybe they play him early, but what's the priority? Is developing Robert Williams the priority for the Boston Celtics, or is winning games and trying to make deep playoff runs and trying to get to the NBA Finals and win a championship with Jason Tatum maybe starting to slide into that top tier of the NBA, with Jaylen Brown starting to go into perhaps an all-star conversation with those guys, and hopefully Kemba back and at an all-star level by the time the playoffs roll around. Is the commitment to developing Robert Williams really there? Because the commitment to Robert Williams means playing him minutes. And who do you sit? The Celtics just paid Tristan Thompson enough money where it triggered a hard cap. If they weren't going to play him, they weren't going to pay him that money and hard cap themselves. So is it Daniel Theis? Is he the odd man out? Do you sit Daniel Theis because he might be gone after this year? I mean, this is the last year of his contract. Do you sit him, or do you play him because he was the anchor of a top five defense last year and prove that he can play with these guys? The continuity is important. What's the priority for the Boston Celtics? And if the priority isn't to develop Robert Williams, I'll say it again. Do the kid a favor. Send him somewhere that will and see if you can get something in return. Just do him a favor. Don't let him twist on the vine. I hope he gets the opportunity. I love watching Robert Williams. When he's at his best, it's fun. But I have questions. And that comment from Brad Stevens, we have good players there again. We'll see how that all shakes itself out. That doesn't give me a lot of hope that Robert Williams has a ton of opportunity here. And what really hurts him is that Tice isn't going to be a four necessarily. Tristan Thompson isn't going to be a four necessarily, because NBA fours are really big threes and very mobile. And that's just not the type of player that any of these guys are going to be able to defend. I don't know where the opportunity is coming from. The opportunity for Aaron Nesmith is coming somehow. It has to be. At least, I think so. So I wonder, how bad does he have to be to not get the opportunity to make this rotation? I'll try to answer that question when I come back. There is absolutely nothing bad, in my opinion, about Built Bar. Built Bar protein bars are just my favorite protein bar. I'm a big protein bar guy. I used to have one of the other competitors for breakfast. It was very difficult to bite into, difficult to chew, but when I was working in TV and I needed something to grab and go on my way to work for a morning meeting, that was an easy way to do it. Now, Built Bar has come along, has changed the game. They've created these protein bars that taste like candy bars. They're soft, they're easy to chew. They've got a ton of great flavors, even those that are nut-free for those of you with allergies. They are fantastic. If you are health conscious and you're looking to lose weight or maintain weight, they're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. I've been buying them with my own money because I know I want to have one after a workout. It's perfect for after a workout. My peanut butter has 19 grams of protein and 180 calories. You can go with a cherry Barcia, 17 grams of protein, 130 calories. Or cookies and cream, 17 grams of protein and 130 calories. Those are candy bar flavors, but low calorie, high protein. It's going to give you what you need after a workout, as a meal replacement, whatever you want to use it for. You can try it yourself right now with the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. So even if you've used it before, you can still use it again. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. Hey, you want to know what I'm doing on Wednesday night? I'm getting together with my guys, Jay King, Sam Packard, and we're going to go through this Celtics schedule and predict every game. It's a tradition. It continues. It's a little later than usual, but we're doing it. And I guess because it's coming out in two halves, we're going to do it again in a few months. Why not? And we'll split it up, a dual Anything is Potable, Locked On Celtics podcast, predicting every game. It's a fun podcast. We do it every year. So tune in tomorrow, because that's when it will air. Aaron Nesmith talked to the media on Tuesday and said, you know, basically all the right things. We talked about his defense. I wanted to ask him about his defense because, as I've said before on the podcast, it's going to be his defense that gets him a little added opportunity. He's going to get out there. Sure, he's going to have the opportunity to make shots. He's pretty good at finding spots on the floor, creating his own space, getting a jumper off. I have pretty good confidence that Nesmith is going to be able to carry that over to this next level. It's his defense that is going to keep him on the floor for longer. If he can pick up the principles, if he can pick up the switching, if he can pick up when he's supposed to do what, then that 10-minute stint should be 15, maybe 20. At least that's what I think. A lot of people think this. So Brad Stevens, again, because we knew Aaron Nesmith was coming up, Brad Stevens was asked about one of the players we're going to talk to. Hey, Brad, here's a question about Aaron Nesmith.
Hey, Brad, do you see Nesmith as being a rotation player at the start of this year? And how prohibitive is the type of environment that he's coming into, perhaps, to that taking place with no training camp, accelerated, summer league accelerated training camp?
We're four practices in. I have no idea if he'll be a part of the rotation or not. I really like what I've seen so far from his ability to learn from things day to day and apply them the next day. But that stuff will sort itself out.
Could you get a sense of how much Brad hated that question? He does not like giving too much credit. He likes to balance it out. And he certainly doesn't want to give a rookie this feeling like, he's definitely in. This isn't the Pistons with Killian Hayes saying, this guy's our starting point guard. This is the Celtics with a very established group and Aaron Nesmith having to kind of at least feel like he's got to earn his way into this rotation. But I'm really having trouble figuring out how he doesn't. Just like I'm having trouble figuring out how Robert Williams gets minutes. How does Aaron Nesmith not get rotation minutes? He's the right size. He's strong. He should be. He's smart. Brad Stevens says he's picking everything up pretty quickly. You just heard him. He has to have a shooting season on par with Carson Edwards last year. Like his shot, and he comes in after the draft, by the way, and says, I'm an absolute sniper. If he's not an absolute sniper, I mean, that is ballsy. That takes guts to come out there on draft night and say, hey, you know, like, how are you going to help this team? Well, I'm an absolute sniper, so that's how I'm going to help this team. Okay. And look, he was in college before he fractured his foot. He was an absolute sniper. He shot 50% from three. Now, the caveat there, the perspective there, is that it came against lesser competition, non-conference competition, and no matter who the Celtics face, the closeouts are coming from better than whatever competition he faced, shooting 50%. So what's that going to knock the shooting down to? I would never expect him to shoot 50%. I wouldn't even expect him to shoot 40%. But can he be league average out of the blocks? Can he be at least league average? I mean, I would hope so. That's if you're billed as the best shooter in this draft, then you better come in and start hitting shots. Now, if he's hitting in a streaky way, then that defense has to be kind of on point. And that's just focus, sliding, moving, understanding the angles, understanding where the team is trying to force these guys. You know, you hear the ice. Are you trying to force a guy sideline? Are you trying to veer a guy into a big and force a late switch? Or what are you trying to do? Are you switching right away? What are you doing? What happens on a pick and roll and your guy is out on the perimeter? When do you dig? How far do you help off that guy? Can he pick that stuff up? He has to, if he's going to not be in the rotation, like let's look at this depth chart on opening night. Assume the starters are Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Grant Williams, and Daniel Tice. Tristan Thompson's going to come in after that because he's going to get up to speed. Jeff Teague, who's left? Grant Williams is starting. Shemi Ojeleye? Okay. Can Aaron Nesmith beat out Shemi Ojeleye? I like Shemi. Shemi's a good dude. He can get down. He can defend. Inconsistent shooter. But even if Shemi is good, there's still an opportunity for Aaron Nesmith. Aaron Nesmith has to objectively suck to not get minutes, rotation minutes. He has to be bad. He has to be like completely just horrible. He has to get minutes. I don't know how else it can work. 6'6", 6'10", wingspan. He's in great shape. You look at him. He's muscular. He's strong for that position. I don't see how he doesn't get 20 minutes a game to figure things out. And like consistently for a month, even if he sucks, let's say he sucks on opening night. He's a rookie. He's supposed to suck on opening night. Okay. Maybe he sucks on Christmas Day. Maybe he sucks for a week. At some point, he's going to figure this out. I just feel like he's got enough of the right skills at the right size with the right mentality. I don't see how he doesn't finish this season playing 20, 25 minutes a game off the bench because it's exactly what the Celtics need. I'll tell you how much faith I have in Aaron Nesmith. I put him on my Locked On NBA fantasy team. That's right. I put Aaron Nesmith as one of my picks on my fantasy team. I don't play a lot of fantasy basketball, but you know what? I'm going to lay it out for you when I come back here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Hey, if you're looking for a great holiday gift for the Boston Celtics fan in your life, try my book, The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, The Best Players at Each Position for the Seas. I went all the way back to the beginning of Boston Celtics history and picked two players at each position plus two wild cards and two coaches to put together an all-star team of all Boston Celtics greats. It was a very difficult process. I left some very important people off, but in the end, I think I've put together an amazing all-star team from Boston Celtics history. So go to wherever you can buy books, online or in stores, The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, The Best Players at Each Position for the Seas, is now available. So go ahead and get a copy for the Boston Celtics fan in your life. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. It was not a long wait, but the wait is almost over. This NBA season is just about ready to start in a couple of weeks. So the Locked On NBA podcast will get you ready with a special week of shows beginning December 14th. All next week, get previews of every team, division by division, from all 30 of our Locked On local experts. That includes me handling the Celtics, plus waiver wire additions from the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast, rookies to watch from Chad Ford, and predictions on each division from Projecting the Screen. This is a massive, awesome preview that we do every year. It's going to get you completely caught up on everything you need to know about the NBA. So subscribe to Locked On NBA wherever you get your podcasts. Now, I'm going to be on the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast because this is my third podcast I'm doing tonight. But part of the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast was selecting our fantasy team. 12 of us got together. We're doing a fantasy team. Let me say this. I don't like playing fantasy. I lose track. I forget deadlines. I get caught up in my work. The Celtics are off. I've got three Celtics on my team and they're all in the starting lineup. Great. But hey, I'm going to give it a go. It's been years since I've played fantasy, but Here's my fantasy team. My number one overall pick, Jason Tatum. I had the fourth overall pick in the draft. I went with Tatum. And I also, here's how bad I am at fantasy. I forgot that the draft was at 7. I thought it was at 8. So I joined 15 minutes late and three of my picks had already been made. Luckily, I'd preset my rankings. So because that's my safeguard, because I knew myself. So my first pick was Jason Tatum. I don't know who was on the board, so I'm sorry, I can't justify that. You're going to have to listen to the podcast. I'm going to listen to the Lockdown Fantasy podcast myself to figure out who was on the board when that happened. But I'm comfortable taking Tatum. I think Jason Tatum's going to be a fantasy stud this season. I think Jason Tatum's going to have a potential MVP conversation type season. Like I don't know that he's going to win the MVP. I'm not saying he's going to win the MVP, but when all of the debate shows are having their debates about who the MVP is, somebody's going to be like, can we just talk about Jason Tatum for a minute? Because no Kemba to start, no Hayward. He's the unquestioned number one option on this team. So I think he's going to obviously score. I think his efficiency has been great. He's a good rebounder. I think his assist numbers are going to go up. I think his overall free throw percentage is going to be great. His three-pointers are going to be great. And defensively, he's going to give me steals. He's going to give me blocks. Jason Tatum is going to be a fantasy stud. And the best part about it is they've got him listed as small forward, power forward. So he fills multiple positions. My second pick, I believe the second pick was Bam Adebayo made automatically. I'm cool with that. Bam's going to be a defensive monster, rebounding, blocking. I think he's going to finish. I think he's going to have a good season. John Morant's my point guard. He was the third pick. I don't know how I would have gone with that had I been around for that pick, but fine, whatever. John Morant, I'll take it. He's going to be a stud. I'll take it. So now I started making my own selections. My next selection is Jaylen Brown. I think the combination of Tatum and Brown, I mean, that's basically all of Boston's points. And Jalen's going to give steals, blocks, rebounds. I think his assist numbers are going to go up. I think that combination is going to be a fantasy powerhouse. Then I fill out my lineup with Malcolm Brogdon, who I think can get back to some of the efficiency that made him really good in Milwaukee. That Danilo Gallinari in Atlanta, I'm hoping that he has the opportunity to do some of the things that he did in OKC. Clint Capella at center, again, from Atlanta. I think he's going to have, it's going to be so spread out. I think Capella's going to have a potential Houston-like impact on that team. The rest of my bench, I went with Montrezl Harrell after that Capella pick. Harrell is a swing because I don't think that LeBron is going to play a bunch at the beginning of the season. I think he's going to get a lot of rest. I think Anthony Davis is going to get a lot of rest. I don't think Marc Gasol can handle a ton of work right away. They're going to have to pace him. I think Montrezl Harrell is going to have a ton of opportunity early on. Maybe Montrezl Harrell is going to have such opportunity early on that somebody who needs a center, and I've got Bam and I've got Capella, if Capella is good enough and I can spare Harrell, he could be trade bait. Because if Harrell's putting up monster numbers, I think somebody might be interested in taking a Harrell trade, and maybe I can fill whatever spot I need, depending on how the early part of the season shakes out. I've got Evan Fournier as the pick after that. I just think that the Magic are going to need production from somewhere, and I think Fournier is going to be able to do that. Then I went with Killian Hayes. Now, by this time, this is what? That's what? 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10th. 10th round pick, Killian Hayes, who's going to get a ton of opportunity in Detroit. A ton of opportunity. They love him. He's going to be their starting point guard. That's already been determined. They feel like he's advanced. His European experience is going to help him out. I think Hayes has the opportunity to be a good player on a bad team and fill a lot of statistical boxes. Getting him in the 10th round, I think, was huge. I picked PJ Tucker after that because he was on the board, and I was like, I just like PJ Tucker. I don't know what else to say. I think Houston's going to be enough of a mess where maybe PJ Tucker can get his. But who knows? He at the very least can give me 3-point shooting, maybe some rebounding. At this point, we're at the 11th round. Whatever. Aaron Nesmith comes up after this, mainly because I was goaded into picking another Celtic, and I think that he can be a guy that maybe, because of the opportunity I talked about in segment two, that this could be a guy that actually provides a couple of 3-pointers a night. Not a ton of scoring, but hey, who knows? Maybe in the Celtics rotation, maybe he can grab a couple of rebounds. I'm not expecting a lot. I mean, we're getting to this point droppable, guys. So I was goaded into taking Nesmith. I'm happy to have a third Celtic on my team. My last two picks, Cam Reddish in Atlanta. With my next to last pick, I think Cam Reddish is a pretty good swing because he could end up being their starter. They like him. He had a good finish to the season. He was bad at the beginning, but I've always been high on Reddish. I thought that he was going to be the better of that Barrett-Reddish duo. I thought that he had the potential to be better. Now, maybe I'll be wrong about that, but I still think Cam Reddish can be very good. And if he becomes a starter in Atlanta and he can fill the stat sheet, now that's a guy I got second to last. And then last, I go for Gary Harris in Denver. Now, he's a guy that has been good once upon a time, has seen his opportunity dwindle, and then has seen his potential dwindle. Now, does Gary Harris find that magic again? Does Gary Harris get traded and find that magic somewhere else? I just think that Gary Harris, there's just one more potential play there where Harris might have one last shot at being a productive guy. And if I get that guy last, then it doesn't matter that I took PJ Tucker a few picks before him. Doesn't matter if that doesn't work out. And if Fournier doesn't work out, so what? There's a potential there for Reddish and Harris to be really good players that I got with my last two picks. So tell me, I tweeted out the link, the picture of my team. It's on my Twitter at RedsArmy_John. So go check that out. Tell me what you think. I mean, I think some other teams, and you go listen to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast. If you're really interested in this, you'll get the full rundown of who everybody picked. My team, I think, could be good. Maybe middle of the pack. Some other guys got some big players. This is a good team, I think, on paper. If I rolled out this team on a basketball court, I think I'd have a hell of a team. In fantasy, well, we'll see, because I've got other teams that I got to compare to. And I'll be tweeting out updates. Again, not a big fantasy guy, but this will be fun. And you'll get reactions on the Locked On Fantasy podcast. Again, subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast, not just because of that big preview, but because Wednesdays are also my days to co-host on Locked On NBA. In this episode, I and Jake Madison of Locked On Pelicans had reaction to James Harden in that whole scenario. I called the James Harden scenario in Houston the player empowerment version of what Sam Hinkie did in Philly. Go check out Locked On NBA for why I said that and my explanation of that. Also, the best player not to win MVP. Who's the best player that has no chance at winning MVP this season? That, and every week we do sour rankings, which is the opposite of power rankings. And I had a lot of things to say about Kyrie and his handling of the media situation. So that's all on Locked On NBA. Remember to go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code Locked On. You'll get 20% off your next order. Thanks for listening. If you're a new listener, please subscribe. I hope you've enjoyed the show enough to do so. Regular listeners, I hope you give me that 5-star rating, that good written review, please. And share the podcast. Tell everybody that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.